in this first article in the infection section of the immunity issue, I'd like to offer, as usual, an opportunity to rethink. In an age when household products pride themselves on killing 99% of all known germs, I'd like to offer the thought that germs are not all bad. Indeed, to point out that there are more germs, microbes, in and on us than there are cells in our body. And the cheeky question at the beginning is, are we human or are we microbe? Like everything else, we live with our co-inhabitants on the planet in ecosystems, and microbes certainly have very complex populations that balance each other out, live in varying degrees of harmony. And the microbiomes, as we call them, are very organized and on every surface, as we've seen in the previous articles, on every surface and in every niche in the body. They do play positive roles, and we now know that the innate immune system that we talked about is largely primed by microbes, and that they are important in helping protect us from other problems. And in the gut, they are very important in digesting food and processing nutrients, and indeed in protection again against adverse problems. So they're part of our key defense system already, and we live in a symbiotic relationship with them. We need each other to thrive. This is evolving constantly, and with more dangerous players in the ecosystem held in check. These more harmful organisms we call pathogens can, however, occasionally break through and cause trouble, and there we need all the help we can get to manage them. We'll come back to various strategies in a moment. So these pathogens include, from the most simple to the most complex, prions, which are simply fragments of protein and have been associated with things like mad cow disease, CJD and kudzu. Then on to viruses, which we're going to talk about in another article, bacteria in the next stage up, and then protozoa, which we associate with malaria and amoebic dysentery, on to fungi, which we'll again talk about later, and then the most complex, worms, that are complete invertebrate organisms. Each of these has their own relationship with us, and we will talk about some of them later. In relation to how we protect ourselves from pathogens particularly, we have various defense measures, as well as helping the normal ecosystem to keep these in balance. We have these barrier defenses that we introduced earlier in the last section, and which we'll keep on returning to. And they are in the skin, the respiratory tract, the mouth, and of course obviously in the gut, that you find some very powerful defenses to keep microbes that shouldn't be there at bay. And I've got a great example of one that we use a lot in natural health care and with plant medicine. That's the mucociliary escalator in the lungs. It's an amazing phenomenon. Essentially, the lung lining, the airway linings down in the lungs, and also, in fact, in the upper respiratory tract, are lined with cells that have little whip-like fronds on them called cilia. And when you look at these with the appropriate microscopy, they are on the living tissues. They wave, as a bit like wind moving across a field of wheat. They whip in waves, and the waves move helically up the airways, or down the airways if it's at the upper respiratory tract, towards the throat, where everything meets in the respiratory tract. Between these ciliated cells are other cells called goblet cells that produce mucus, and the mucus flows onto the surface of the cilia, and as the cilia beat, they move the mucus along, and as the mucus is sticky, this is a bit like moving flypaper. As you breathe in, the way the airways are constructed means that the air is sent in a helical motion, in a vortex, so to speak, and centrifugal force then pushes all the particles, including bacteria, including dust, and all the other pollutants that we might inhale, get thrown against the walls and get stuck to this mucus lining, which is then, of course, carried up to the throat and swallowed and dealt with, of course, by the stomach acid and sterilized. That happens without any. We don't know it's happening. All we do is we swallow every so often, and that is a quiet cleansing process affecting all the airways. If that's overcome, and ways we'll see in other articles, by the mucus being too sticky or too profuse or other problems with that escalator, then you fall back on the next fallback measure, which in the lower part of the respiratory tract is called a cough, and the upper part is called a sneeze. And each of these is its own defense measure that, again, we will find ways of helping as we go along. So it's an example of how we can very gently keep microbes at bay if they are causing trouble. We've already mentioned, and we'll come back to the powerful effect of the digestion. The stomach's job is, among other things, to sterilize food as it comes in, and that includes anything that we swallow. We've also looked at previous articles about the role of the innate system, immune system in particular, and its powerful effects in managing intrusions from microbes. And then we have, as a backup, the acquired or adaptive immune system.